Welcome to Sound Off on KSRM Radio. This is your community roundtable discussion program on the Kenai Peninsula, where for over 50 years we have discussed problems and issues that face all of us. Our phone number is 283-5811, so keep your phone handy and join us for Sound Off right here on KSRM. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KSRM management, staff, or sponsors, but are those of the moderator and callers only. Now, here's your moderator, Dwayne Bannock.
Music. Good morning, good neighbors. We got something special for you today. Dwayne, can we have that specialness? And this is Wisdom Wednesday. Welcome to Sound Off, the Solution Show, broadcast live on KSRM, the one, 9:20 a.m.
A story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground from a bumbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is a place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars. The Beverly Hillbilly.
And there you have it. In case you couldn't figure it out, our topic today is Alaska's Fair Share Act. Our guest today from the Southern Peninsula, our neighbor and one of many Alaskan organizers, Mr. Paul Seaton. Mr. Seaton, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for driving up. We brought you on today for some wisdom and potential solutions. But before we get there, is there any major road construction between point A and point B?
I didn't find any today.
Were you looking for it?
We were looking to avoid it.
Okay. Good deal. So there we have it, neighbors. Bonus news report and road report. Neighbors, the number here, of course, is 283-5811. And we're going to cover some information and background first. Then we'll take your questions and comments after the 930 ABC News. Mr. Seaton, give us a brief overview of what the Fair Share Act proposes.
Sure, I appreciate that. And first thing to realize is that the Fair Share Act is not a new tax system. It's a reform of SB 21. It keeps in place most of the items in SB 21. But what it does do, it only applies to the largest fields in the state because they have to have produced over 400 million barrels for each field. And it also changes the gross minimum tax, that's the minimum that we receive, and eliminates the per barrel credits in the calculation if you are talking about the other section of tax. It's the alternative to the gross minimum, which is the net profits tax, because this is really a net profits tax that only has the gross minimum tax as a minimum. However, that minimum got so low under SB 21 that we are just not getting any revenue. We started out in this state with 15% gross tax, and now we currently under SB 21, we're only getting 4%. And then what happens, it increases the share of oil, of revenue by 1% as you go up and get above $50 a barrel. So the other things it does, it doesn't allow people to take costs from other areas of expenses and load them on to these major fields. So you can only deduct the from your taxes, you can only deduct expenses that occur from the fields in which the oil is produced. And that's called ring fencing. You'll hear that term every once in a while. And then the other thing it does, it provides transparency so that we will know the tax issues that, and, you know, their tax forms will be public so that we can see exactly how that's calculated. Right now, even the legislature cannot see the background expenses and those things that are being deducted. So that's that's basically what we're doing. We're getting transparency. We're getting this ring fencing, or making everybody deduct only what's expended in producing that oil on which taxes are derived. And it also changes the tax rates, but it's not a new system. So that was what makes it easy.
And so you say the three legacy fields. So every all the new exploration, Cook Inlet, whatever's going on around the state, me dumping oil in my driveway when I'm changing it on the rig, whatever, none of that's affected. It's the three legacy fields.
It's only the legacy fields. Those are the only ones that have produced over 400 million barrels in their lifetime here. So that's where it kicks in. So all the incentives that are in there, the credits and those things, are all still available, just like under SB 21, for new developments and new production that would come online.
Okay, that sounds good. And just a brief history, because you referenced SB 21. So you spent a lot of time in Juneau, and I remember SB 21 because we had a referendum on it back in 2014, and I believe the vote was 52-48. But refresh us, how did we get here? And it's been 6 years now, and I remember during the referendum on 21 back in 14, we were promised the pipeline will be full. The Treasury, state Treasury, will have more money than it's ever seen, and employment will be full in the oil and gas industry. And over the 6 years it's been, I've not seen any of that happen. How did we get here?
Well, that's true. And, you know, when Governor Parnell came in with this tax reform pass, and then SB 21 was the next, and his statement was 1 million barrels a day. And it was supposed to have more jobs. And when this, before this passed, there was over 14,000 jobs in the oil industry. And then it's just gone down continuously since then. By 2016, it was down to 11,000, 9,700 in 2017, and only 9,300 in 2018, and even less now. So anyway, fewer jobs have been the entire duration of SB 21. Less revenue is for sure, and especially when you apply the tax credits that were, quote, earned, that's based on expenditures, we've actually lost money in three of the last 5 years. So it's been a real dearth of revenue, and the other thing is that we've actually gone down in production, not up in production, not up in jobs, and way down in revenue. In fact, the latest figures we've got, and we can go over those a little later, is that there's, when you look at net revenue, we're actually at a loss when you look at the last 5 years. That's 2019 all the way back to 2015. And you look at what was received in production tax versus the cost.
Okay. And basically, and you're not saying that this is an opinion show, so we're all welcome to air our opinions. I think back in 2014, 52% of us were played the fool from the promises that they made. But currently, aren't there also voluntary cuts in production recently from, I believe, our friends at Conoco? They're just, they've been paid for 6 years to produce and want to pull that back a little bit when our state coffers are on E?
Well, yeah, and if you look at even back at 2016 and 2017, you know, ConocoPhillips, because they're the only one that are required to report the profits separately for Alaska, and they made $1.8 billion in profit, and Alaska was negative. In other words, our production tax, we actually ended up owing more money under the credits than we took in those 2 years, while Conoco itself is making $1.8 billion in Alaska. We can't tell you what the other Exxon and BP were making because they don't report them. They mix it all together, and it's only because of the formation of ConocoPhillips and combining with ARCO and the requirement looking at monopolies that required ConocoPhillips then to make this presentation of their net profits from Alaska separately. So that's been a real big thing. I mean, there's been profits being made all these years and way more than in any other area that ConocoPhillips services, whether it's in Latin America or whether it's in the lower 48. Lower 48 a few years ago lost, you know, $2 billion, and they made well over $1 billion here. So, Alaska is getting the short end of things on revenue and providing really healthy profits for the company.
That would be kind of like, I imagine that's how you came up with the term fair share, because that would kind of be like me coming in and paying KSRM to do this broadcast.
Yeah, and also, you know, when you look at the fair share, you're saying, well, what was the original intent when everybody came on? The oil companies were going to make about a third of the profits, and now they're making 48% of the profits. So, you know, making 47 and 48% of profits across a wide range of prices instead of 35, that 11, 12% is our deficit. That's where all our money came out of the CBR to pay those, because we're giving those away. And that's what people have to understand. You know, when the referendum, you talked about the referendum, when that came up, referendum is a veto of an action by the legislature, and that didn't pass. An initiative is structuring a law, and so that's what this does. And again, I remind people that this is just restructuring and reforming of the law, not a whole new system.
Okay, and talking about initiatives, we got a little something here, and we'll explain initiatives to people. Dwayne?
Because only 24 states even allow the initiative process, and the other 26 have no desire to have the initiative process. And the reason being is that they started out well-intended in the sense that, hey, if your legislature isn't doing their job, we can do an initiative and we can get laws passed that way. But what's happened is special interest groups, a lot of these groups are outside, they're not even Alaskan, they're outside of Alaska, have taken over the initiative process. They pay people to get the signatures, and then they have the deep pockets then to advertise and promote. And of course, the opposing side doesn't have the money to fight it. And it's been a very effective way for special interest groups to get laws passed in Alaska that they want to see.
And we will talk about initiatives and what the Lieutenant Governor said right after a word from our generous sponsors. Giving it all away. That'll be up to us, the voters, November 3rd, I believe is. Do we want to keep giving it all away, or do we want to say, hey, something happened here, what it is ain't exactly clear. Anyhow, just before we went away, there was a soundbite from Dwayne's guest from last week, the Lieutenant Governor, talking about initiatives being driven by outside money, outside people, so on and so forth. Mr. Seaton, this initiative, it's part of it's been driven up from Homer, but go ahead and tell us about initiatives in this one.
Well, thanks. And I know what the governor's talking about, because the legislature, back when I was there about 2009 or 10, we saw that there was some impetus towards that. So we passed a law and changed it. So instead of just having to get the required percentage of voters from the last election, you had to get it from a minimum of 7% from 30 of the 40 House districts. So that means that it has to be all across Alaska. You have to have people willing to sign those petitions. But the initiative process is really important, and the reason it's here is because when the legislature becomes captive or refuses to consider things that are good for Alaskans, or the Alaskans know are good for them, then the initiative is there so that people can come in and sign the petitions, get the qualified number of voters, and have them certified by the Lieutenant Governor. And then it goes on the ballot, and people will decide at that point in time. So that's the initiative process. And like I say, the Lieutenant Governor did mention something about non-Alaskans, and yes, that was a problem. We took care of that pretty much by having 30 of the 40 districts have to pass that minimum threshold. And if you look at this, we're talking about the referendum would be kind of the same thing. Remember, the outsiders, the oil companies that are all based outside of Alaska, spend $14 million, and Alaskans raised about $600,000 and spent that. And it came darn close, but, you know, if you spend enough money, it's really difficult. This time, I think it's going to be interesting as ConocoBP and Exxon try to convince Alaskans not to give it a chance like they were able to do with the referendum, but are saying, give us your dividend. You know, there's not going to be money for things, so something is going to have to be cut. The dividend is going to want to be one of the things. Schools, we even saw last year, you know, the maintenance of roads is being cut. You know, those are the things people are going to have to consider this time. I think it's going to be a harder sell for oil companies to be able to convince people to take poor funding of schools, poor funding of maintenance of roads, and a lower dividend or no dividend at all, so that they can increase their bottom line and increase the dividends that they pay to their shareholders, or do stock buybacks. And that's what's happening right now. Is the one that we know about. ConocoPhillips has had several buybacks of stock. They've had increases in their dividends in the last several years a couple of times. And more has been authorized because they're making so much money from Alaska that should be our share.
Okay. And quick point, and then right back to what you're saying. Outside money, as you did point out, I've been watching the ads from One Alaska since the day after Christmas. They've been running them on the TV, on the radio, on the interweb, all of it. And that is outside money, I do believe. Houston, Oklahoma, England, wherever.
That's correct. And the big thing is that we require that the largest three contributors have to be listed on all of the ads and materials. And you'll notice that it's ConocoBP, and Exxon, and now it's ConocoHillCorp and Exxon are the three largest contributors and maybe the only contributors.
We looked at the APOC site. They are.
Yeah, right. And so anyway, you know, you can't blame people for wanting to get have Alaskans give them their fair share to the major oil companies so that they can take it away. That's the big thing, is this money stays in state. With the state will spend it here.
And to your point, when we talked briefly on the phone, if this is successful, the money does not go to the fair share people. The state and the legislature decides how that money will be spent, whether it is on roads, education, dividends, et cetera, et cetera. We make that point a little bit clearer to people?
Sure. The Constitution allows us to pass an initiative, and we can raise money through an initiative, but we can't spend money. We can't dedicate it. Our Constitution says you cannot have a dedicated fund. So we can't, either through the legislature or through ourselves, dedicate funds or say where they'll be spent. So it's going to be up to the legislature, and people need to talk to their legislatures and let them know whether they want it on schools or you know, what they want to have funded, or if they want their dividend maintained or increased. Those are the conversations that people need to have with their individual legislators.
Okay, and to that point, we're getting close to the about half hour, but we got a couple minutes here. This is an opinion show, as I've already stated. State of Alaska has been in a recession last 6 or 7 years. The SB 21 took place then. Correlation or coincidence or just freak of nature type of situation. We've gone through $15 billion worth of savings. We're into cut. Even the existing legislature, and even when you were back there, had been cutting the budget small all the way along the line. But your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, I, you know, cutting the budget only gets so far, and you can't make it all there. You have to have revenue. Right now, we have no revenue coming into the state. We have no production tax. We have no state income tax. We have no sales tax. We have no property tax that goes to the state. So the sources of revenue are really almost minuscule or deleted. Our big one is our resource, which is oil, and we're giving that away in production tax to someone else to put on their corporate bottom line. And that doesn't make sense to me or a whole lot of people, the 44,000 people that signed the petition saying, we want to be able to vote on this, because they've been seeing this over these years as well. And declining revenues, declining production, and loss of jobs was not what was promised when SB 21 went in.
Correlation or coincidence, you decide.
It's Wisdom Wednesday with Phil Ossifer, special in-studio guest Paul Seaton, and we're talking the Fair Share Act you'll be voting on in November. Right now, it's KSRM.
Welcome back to Sound Off, talking about the Fair Share Act. The number here is 283-5811, and we will take your calls and comments, 283-5811, 283-5811. We got a caller, but real quick, Mr. Seaton, who is our guest, in case you just tuned in, would like to talk about something else, capital expenditures.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that was promised was there'd get more investment, and almost every year since 2013, the capital expenditures have dramatically decreased in the Prudhoe Bay unit, which is the biggest unit of all, about 56% of all that oil. So it went from $877 million down to $202 million last year. It's up to $391 now in 2019, but from 2014 it was $877, 2015 $773, 2016 $476, and then the $356 in 2017, and 2018 at $202. So this is not the promises that we had received. And remember again that this time they're going to not just be able to say, give this new system a chance, their new system, SB 21. This time they're going to have to convince people to give away their PFDs, to give away their road maintenance, to give away rebuilding bridges, because those are the kind of things that happen when you retain money in Alaska and have a tax rate that works. And what happens now is it leaves Alaska. So, and those capital expenditures in Prudhoe Bay really exemplify that. They weren't using that money to increase investment.
Right. And capital expenditures reminds me of state of Alaska capital budget. If we have no income, that creates a lack of jobs and a lack of payroll spending to campgrounds, breweries in the valley, or any of the other baloney that we see. Dwayne, do we have a caller or two?
George, good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Dwayne.
Thanks for being patient, George.
Thank you, Paul, for coming on and explaining this Fair Share to us. And I hope you're having a good day there.
Thanks.
Be careful. Let me read my spiel here. Our royalty share is the only thing we're getting money from now. And that's 12.5%. That's half of what other states are getting. An example is Texas gets 25% take. Alaska's getting half of the royalty. We're getting nothing on protection taxes in the last 5 years. Before SB 21 passed, we brought in $19 billion under production, or $3.8 billion a year. Since SB 21 passed, our production taxes have been zero. We have paid the oil companies more in cashable credits than they have paid Alaskans for the oil. So half a royalty is all we're getting. And we are getting nothing in production taxes and haven't gotten anything in the last 5 years. We went from $19 billion to zero. Our promises made on SB 21 has never been met, but they get their credits. And they're getting those, so we're not getting our fair share. And we have lost our dividends, cuts in half of our schools and universities gutted, municipal support gone, property taxes raised, police and fire protection being compromised, our ferry system gone, making it to the communities. You know, people, we have lost everything because our fair share isn't being met. And that's what this is about. So I encourage everybody to vote yes and get our services back online here so we can continue with what we were doing instead of giving everything to the oil companies.
George, thank you for your facts and your comments. On to the next caller, please, Dwayne.
Good night.
Oh, can go.
Yeah, George mentioned royalties there, and I think that, you know, people really like to see these things. So if we go, if anybody wants to look at those by state, by different areas, just go to the website, vote yes for Alaska's fair share. And then up at the upper right-hand side, you'll see a little index, the three or four bars and a question mark up there. Click on that, and that'll come up with all these different information pieces, and one of those is it lays out all the royalties that are in Texas and Oklahoma and, you know, the Bakken there in Montana and all of those are there, as well as Alaska's, and people can see for themselves. But there's a whole lot of information in different subjects there, and you can put in questions so you can find out exactly, you know, what the real facts are.
Facts. We like them.
283-5811. That's our phone number. Phil Ossifer, along with special guest Paul Seaton. Eric, good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you so much. It's beyond me how two senators who are ConocoPhillips employees could be allowed to vote on legislation that could reap billions for their company, but that's a whole other issue. Mr. Seaton, you're really knowledgeable about the state budget. You know, some people think that a full PFD could be paid if legislators would just buckle down and make more budget cuts. How would you respond to these folks?
Well, the big thing is that there's not enough money for maintaining even a minimum amount of services in the state, and a full PFD with getting nothing in production tax from the oil companies. That's just the bottom line. If you don't have any revenue coming in, it's hard to make those things without doing the one thing that most people don't want the legislature to do, and that is to violate the law that says we're only going to take 5% of the percent of market value of the permanent fund. And if you start overdrawing the permanent fund and depleting the permanent fund, that's the only way you can have any kind of a balanced budget without increasing oil taxes. So this is a way for the legislature to step back and take and figure out how to spend the revenue that the people can vote in and say, yes, we want to make sure that we get our fair share from our resources and not give it away.
Okay, the caller's gone. 283-5811. Mr. Seaton, I hear this quite often from my local gentleman that works in Juneau occasionally. We cannot do anything with bumper sticker mentality, as in fair share. That sounds so nice. This needs to be tackled by the legislature. Now, the legislature has many opportunities. In fact, I believe Mr. Wilikowski brought something there. The legislature has not acted in 6 or 7 years. This is not simple bumper sticker. They've had every opportunity in the world to fine-tune things, haven't they?
They have. And we've tried several times. In fact, the House passed a comprehensive fiscal plan in 2017. And that included reforming some of the stuff, getting rid of these per-barrel credits. It would have raised about $700 million a year. You mark that over several years, and all of a sudden you're talking real money. But we've just been not doing that. The Senate has refused to take up oil taxes. In fact, Senator Wilikowski's SB 129 was the legislative legal document, the whole bill, to correspond exactly 100% with this initiative. And there was so much oil pressure down there that they wouldn't even schedule a hearing. If there was a hearing scheduled, there would have been a fiscal note. And then we would know from the analysis of the Department of Revenue, who is the only one that has the facts, because we're in the legislature precluded from knowing any of this stuff. So anyway, we would have had a fiscal note. So they didn't have a hearing on the bill, and that's why the initiative process is there when things that are beneficial for Alaska can't get through the legislature for one reason or another, or even be considered by the legislature, then it's time for the people to act and vote yes for Alaska's fair share.
Okay, George mentioned that. Number here is 283-5811, and we'll be back to the callers right after this break. Welcome back to Sound Off. It's Phil with Paul Seaton, and we are going to take a phone call because that's why we're here. Let's go to the phone.
Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Is that y'all got me?
You the man.
All righty. Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, but, you know, we passed SB 21 under the promise that the oil industry would go out and spend money to develop our oil fields. That never happened. As Senator Seaton clearly reported, they've been spending less money and less money every year. And I think that the whole guise of SB 21 was just under false pretenses. Basically, that was a giveaway. We gave them money or charged them less taxes so that we get some development, which never happened. And the other issue, as far as the initiative process being hijacked by paid petitioners, that's hogwash. And people just need to look at what's going on in the state and try to figure out what's the truth. And the truth is right out there for anyone that wants to look at the facts. And the facts are that SB 21 didn't deliver on the promise that was made to the people. And there's no reason to be continuing to charge oil industry less than prevailing commissions or royalties or whatever you call it. We're giving the oil companies in the state of Alaska, we're giving away our oil, and they're paying us back about a quarter of what they would be paying if they were in Texas or any other state in the lower 48, and we should not give away our oil and be forced to pay a bunch of taxes so that these guys can make a bunch of money. So that's pretty much what I've got to say about it.
Caller, thank you very much for your astute observations. Any thoughts, Mr. Seaton?
Well, I just agree. You know, it's really there. And like I said, you can go to the website, vote yes for Alaska's fair share, and get some of those facts right there in front of you. Look at those. There's also a Facebook page, same name, and people can go there as well as donate there. Because we are Alaskans. This is all driven by Alaskans. And we are trying to fight the big bucks from outside. So,
and to put a little emphasis on the caller's point, from 2014, part of the scare tactics were, if this referendum passes, we're leaving the state. So BP has been collecting tax credits and cash payments for 7 years. Now they're saying adios, amigos.
It's interesting. Interesting process. And the big thing is, remember, we're only down to 9,000 jobs from what was 14,000 jobs. I mean, we lost jobs.
Promises.
Yeah, that bumper sticker of give it a chance. It's been given a chance, and it didn't work, so it's time to reform.
Yeah, chance was slim and none. Let's go to the line, Dwayne.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Paul. I'm glad you're on. I'm glad you're here with your facts, and it's time to for voters to discount the well-funded propaganda that is in opposition to this fair share, and it's time to just hook up your pants and go down there and vote for the fair share, and discount that millions of dollars that they're going to spend in opposition. But anyways, that's all I got, Paul, and good luck to you.
It's tens of millions, callers. Of millions.
Yeah, and thanks, Bill, for calling in. Yeah, the big thing is that a bunch of those ads that you see are all due to recessions on jobs and all. That's not due to this tax. It's not even been voted on yet. So the scare tactics that they're using, again, they're going to have to convince Alaskans to give away their dividends and give away their maintenance on their roads. And you'll just have to wait and see.
There you have it. Dwayne, should we go to a break right now and put it behind us and then move on?
Want some real facts? Fact is, in the last 5 years, Alaska has paid the oil companies more than they've paid us in production taxes. In fact, we get less for our oil than Russians, Norwegians, Texans, North Dakotans, or any major resource owner. By far. As Alaskans suffer, big oil makes billions. We're getting ripped off, and that's a fact. Vote yes for Alaska's fair share.
Paid for by Vote Yes for Alaska's Fair Share. Top contributors David Carter, Robin Brenna, and RSD Properties.
This is Sound Off. It's an opinion show. We got time for a couple more callers, 283-5811. The question asked, will we get fooled again from 2014? That's up to you, voters. The election will be on November 3rd, so you got plenty of time to do your own research. If you would like to vote or would like to help, feel free to. If you're not a registered voter, maybe you are, because if you filed for the PFD, you're on the list, okay? And if you're a newbie, you still got plenty of time to register to vote. Mr. Seaton, who is our guest in court, I believe it's in court right now, Governor Walker, when he was there, proposed $1 billion worth of bonds to pay off the explorers. $1 billion worth of state bonds to be issued to pay off the explorers. If this was successful, we'd get the $1 billion back in the first year, wouldn't we? Or your thoughts, sorry.
Well, we would. The thing is, from basically no revenue to about $800 million to $1 billion, that's a huge jump. So, and that's every year, that things are going. So the bond issue is there's probably about $740 million left to pay on those cashable credits. And so that would probably be the amount. But you got to remember what we're doing is we're going out and borrowing money to pay the oil companies. Not only are we not getting any production tax, we're borrowing money to pay those cashable credits. Now we've
paid Tuesday for a cheeseburger today.
Yeah, right. Well, and of course we've stopped doing the cashable credits. Now all of the oil companies, Conoco, BP, Exxon, Hillcorp, have to be the same as the small ones. The small ones have to be the same. They have to roll forward their expenses that are made outside of those big units forward until they're producing oil. Like right now, ConocoPhillips is spending a whole lot of money out in NPRA, which is on federal land. We don't get any royalty there.
And Mr. Trump just lowered their royalties, even if it is on federal land. But that's a whole different topic.
Well, it is. But the whole problem is that those expenses, 35% of those, can get deducted from the taxes that they would have paid Alaskans. So Alaskans are paying for this development where there is no oil and no being produced. And so now those will have to roll forward, but still a loss in the future. So this $726 to $738 million of bond that be paid is really a travesty.
Okay, we're about to run out of time. So would you give out some information one more time on where people can go to get more information from your perspective?
Sure. Either at Facebook or on the web, it's Vote Yes for Alaska's Fair Share. .com, and you can donate there, you can get information, you can make comments, you can ask questions. You could also call Jane Anvik. Jane is one of the sponsors of the initiative at 907-230-0500. So she would be happy to help you out. I'd be happy to give you information too. My number is 299-3434, and I just encourage everybody to look at how you want to spend your money, because the money that's going to be there, revenue is either going to be left on the table and not available, or it's going to be there to spend on dividends, on road maintenance, on schools, and the university.
Thank you for driving up and being a good Alaskan.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Paul Seaton, our special in-studio guest from Alaska's check that. Vote yes for Alaska's fair share. Phil Osifer, can you stick around for a little while in second hour?
If you fill my coffee cup, I could.